You're listening to Help and Hope, an audio ministry of CCEF. Our mission is to restore Christ to counseling and counseling to the church. On the program today, Winston Smith and Cecilia Bernhardt join us to talk about various aspects of biblical counseling at CCEF.
Well, Winston, would you like to introduce yourself and explain a little bit about your role here as faculty member and what you do in your department?
Sure. My name is Winston Smith, and I have been here at the CCF for about 15 years. And one of my biggest responsibilities at this point is as the director of counseling for the CCF, which means at the end of the day, I'm responsible for the type of counseling that we do here, the quality of the counseling that we do here. That involves supervision, ongoing training and education, and just making sure that the counseling that we do here really reflects and represents the goals and aims of CCF.
Mm. Cecilia, you know, you're a counselor. What do you do exactly day-to-day, and how's your role unique here at CCEF?
Sure. I'm Cecilia Bernhardt, and I'm the administrator for counseling services as well as a counselor. And as an administrator, I think I support Winston Smith in his role as director of counseling services. And we really see administration as part of making sure that we provide a good and sound service to the counselees who come in. Mm-hmm. In other words, doing good administration is part of loving the counselees. Mm-hmm. So we're careful about understanding what the industry standards are. We want to make sure that we are focused in a God-centered way, working from a biblical perspective, and then helping our counselors to apply that. My job is helping the counselors to be able to love their counselees well.
Going off that, you already mentioned or touched on a few of the distinctives about CCEF and the counseling ministry. How would you describe the counseling ministry and aims, and what is the specific approach? Why is this different from what people might find in secular counseling or even in other types of Christian, broadly Christian counseling?
Yeah, I think calling something Christian counseling, even calling something biblical counseling, doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily tell you.
They're pretty broad terms.
Yeah, what you're getting. I mean, I think there are a couple of ways that you can go wrong. Sometimes you say biblical counseling to somebody, and they think, "Well, I'm going to get beat on the head with a Bible, or I'm going to get a lecture." Sometimes biblical counseling leads people to think of the Bible as sort of a cookbook for life's problems, and I just need a counselor to help me sort of crack the code on this to just apply the right principles so that life will go well. And I think biblical counseling, the way we understand it, is of course people's problems and their sufferings become an occasion for counseling. Mm-hmm. Of course people want to feel better, but at the end of the day, what we're really concerned for is that all of those things become a vehicle for someone having a deepening and a growing relationship with Christ. So I want people to feel better too, but I want that to be a fruit of or a product of them really having an intimate connection of life in Christ and life in His body, in the church.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, you're broadening the term counseling compared to how other people might use it. Oftentimes people use that word in a technical sense, but you're saying it has much more, counseling has much more involved in it than just that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still counseling in
sure.
that it's time limited, it's very focused, it's more than simple friendship or discipleship. I mean, mm-hmm. we are getting together for a fixed period of time to focus on what's going on in their life, but we are self-consciously bringing that into the life of Christ. Now, what does Scripture have to say about this? Not in that simple problem-solving kind of way, but how do you bring the gospel of Christ to bear on what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it really as the best of both worlds, mm-hmm. because the person comes in, we're focused on them individually, we care about them, mm-hmm. we listen to them, but then we help them to see the big picture. You know, what is God doing, you know, redemptively, mm-hmm. in the world, and then specifically in their world. And how can the big picture of the grace of the gospel be true and yet then be struggling with these particular issues? We can help them to bring those two things together, mm-hmm. in a way that brings great freedom to their lives.
What type of issues do you normally see when people come into council? I'd imagine there's a broad range and there are different degrees of difficulties from your perspective. What types of things are people struggling with when they come to see you?
Well, it can be anything and everything. I mean, from the whole gamut of individual sorts of issues, just from low-grade anxiety to just very severe depression to eating disorders to people recovering from a history of abuse, or to more family kinds of issues, just marital problems, people trying to deal with divorce or recover from a divorce, problems raising children, any or all of those things will show up. That doesn't mean that every counselor is the same, that every counselor has the same experiences or is equally equipped to deal with each of those issues. I think what happens is, as people grow as counselors, they get a sense of their strengths and of their weaknesses, and they often develop an interest in particular areas. And we try to take that into account, mm-hmm. when we locate people, situate them with a counselor.
Go ahead.
Okay. you know, just to, when thinking about that issue, what kind of issues do people come in with? I thought, okay, currently on my schedule, here's a few different issues: a woman struggling with depression, a woman struggling with an eating disorder. Two couples for marriage counseling. I have women who've been diagnosed as bipolar and also with schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. A young man in a married couple diagnosed with OCD. So there really is a breadth of issues, mm-hmm. That people, the normal things, the normal issues of life that people ask for help for, they come into CCEF and ask for help.
You mentioned a few medical diagnoses or things that we might find in the DSM or the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. Does the Bible really speak to these issues? And what is CCEF's position on that? And how is the Bible used in counseling here?
Yeah, well, that's a huge question. I'll take a swing at it. But I think that when we sit down with somebody to help them in counseling, and I've been talking about wanting them to really connect with Christ. It's not that my counselees don't necessarily know Christ or already have a relationship with him. The challenge is often taking my experience and understanding how it relates to what God has said. And so sometimes when your question is a natural, and when you're thinking about issues like bipolar disorder or clinical depression or something, where my experience seems to fall way outside of the range of anything that the Scripture talks about or what Jesus came to do. And often the one of the most basic elements of giving people hope and direction is helping them take their experience and understand how when you break it down into smaller pieces, you can see how their experience is covered in Scripture. So, you know, feelings of being out of control, feelings of hopelessness, being overwhelmed. I mean, when you really look at the experiences that make up some of these diagnoses, all of those experiences are really in Scripture, and Jesus came to speak to and touch all of those forms of brokenness. Mm-hmm. And, at the same time, we aren't naive. We aren't reductionistic. We don't deny that the way people treat us now and have treated us in the past are are tremendous influences on the way we think and the way we feel and how we live. In the same way that our bodies, our physiology, can press us in the way that we see and think and perceive. And at the same time, we want to say, yeah, those are all important aspects of what it means to be a human being and to live life. At the same time, I'm more than all of that. As an image bearer of God, I'm always more than what my body presses me to do, mm-hmm. or the way people have treated me and what they've said to me. I give weight to those things. I acknowledge their importance. But my hope is that in Christ, I'm more than that. And in Christ, I have the resources to think differently, to make choices, to find healing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular take on that, Celie? Or anything you'd like to add to that? How do you use the Bible, maybe just practically speaking, when you are counseling somebody? Is it something implicit in that you're using as general principles? Do you take someone to Scripture? How do you work that in your personal style?
Probably a good way to answer that is for me to have a particular counselee in mind. And so, I would definitely agree with what Winston said, in the big picture. And so I have a counselee who struggles with very strong emotions, mm-hmm. and she feels controlled by those emotions. Now, when she came in, she had already been assigned a diagnosis of bipolar, and we didn't argue that point or spend time focusing on the diagnosis and what does that mean and would I agree with what the doctor said. No, we talked about the range of her emotions and how God is present in her world with her and enabling her to love and honor Him and to love others where she is. And so, there's times where there's a general sense of the big picture of, what is God doing redemptively here? And then there's other times where we go to particular, Bible passages and we work through them and we help mm-hmm. her to see, like for example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we help her to see that God has given her what she needs to live with godliness mm-hmm. where she is. Mm-hmm. And then that helps her, it helps her to have a sense of the ability to live with who she is in the relationships that she has, in the situations that God has called her to. And then to be able to both accept the fact that she's an emotional person and that in itself isn't bad, but then also that she can exert a sense of self-control over her emotions.
So what you're saying is that the Bible is always guiding us and helping us to counsel, but it's different for each different, not only person, but time. And so at CCEF, would it be fair to say that you don't use the Bible in a formulaic way, but you maybe let the Spirit guide you in not only knowing what the right thing to say is, but also when it's the right time to say it?
Yes. I think we definitely don't take a proof text approach to, okay, you struggle with this. This one verse, is kind of like a magic statement that you apply mm-hmm. to it. Sometimes one verse can be helpful and it can encourage you, but more the story of Jesus, who He is, what He has done, and how that applies to the situations that you're facing, and the underlying belief that it does, that we can, rely on our faith to help us to face the struggles that life brings. Mm-hmm. Brings a good sense of freedom to the counselees.
Like if I could piggyback on wants to see what he's saying. You take someone with the same sort of problem, just these overwhelming emotions. And maybe one of those overwhelming emotions is just over suffering and loss. Well, it probably wouldn't be all that helpful if we took that person to a verse that said, well, find joy in the Lord. It might help them, but that'd be asking an awful lot of them. Probably more careful way of helping them interact with Scripture would be to observe that, that feeling of grief and loss is actually echoed and portrayed all over the place in Scripture. So for instance, let's look at this Psalm. Let's look at Psalm 13, where the psalmist is saying, how long will you forget me? You know, sometimes in my grief, I feel forgotten by God. What does that mean to this counselee? Well, here's some of the encouragement in it. When God can put into words what you're feeling, that's pretty powerful. It means, one, that you're understood. God gets your experience. Two, it means he gives you permission to have that experience. That can address the shame that sometimes goes along with these powerful emotions. And then the Psalms, usually they take you somewhere. They don't often leave you in that experience, although sometimes they do. But then the psalmist will just take you a little bit further. Give light to my eyes. Help me to understand. The psalmist is not just voicing these emotions in a vacuum. He's crying out to the Lord, which means there's hope in that. God not only understands, not only gives you permission, but offers you a hope, cares, wants to help. And if you take that even one step further, and you say, you know what, the cries of the psalmist are ultimately the cries of Christ himself, mm-hmm. that there's someone in flesh and bone who's alive, who has been in these kinds of experiences and knows them as well as you do, in fact, knows them better than you do, and can be a guide in it. So it's much more than just, you know, take one verse, call me in the morning, you'll feel better. It's letting the scripture take you into relationship with the Lord, so you can know his care, you can know his concern.
Speaking of counseling and the counselor in particular, what types of qualifications do the counselors have, and what do you look for if you're going to what are the qualifications that go along with that role here at CCEF?
Well, all of our counselors have some form of graduate education, either theological or counseling or both. That's important. But even more important is they have a credible testimony, meaning they have experienced and tasted what we're asking them to offer to their counselees. So they need to have skills. They need to have thought about what it means to live life as a broken person in a broken world. And graduate level training in counseling and theology helps you to do that. Hmm. But they need to know how to live life themselves. Not that they're perfect, not that they're sinless at all, but they're acquainted with the gospel of grace and they have an experience of changing and growing. And they need that. They need to be able to offer Christ in humility. Even though they're taking a leading role in the counseling relationship, they need to lead as someone who is connecting with the same Savior.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's interesting is many of our counselors, or I don't know if all of our counselors, but many of our counselors, have been in counseling themselves and have not only, are not only looking at these issues kind of like from the outside somehow, how do I help someone else, but have been through situations that have been very challenging to ourselves and our own faith. And so that gives it another depth, right, to the counseling process. And that's helpful for us to really understand where our counselors are coming from.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know if all of them have been counseled, but I can think of four or five off the top of my head, including myself, who have been.
Right.
This concludes today's edition of Help and Hope. If you would like more information about CCEF, you can visit ccef.org. You can also get information about our books and other publications at New Growth Press, online at newgrowthpress.com. We pray that you will be blessed by this and that you will join us again on Help and Hope.